Let's start with sharing what you have experienced in the early period of sitting, right before this. Questions that you have, things you're not sure of, or your experience. We can start there. This way, the teachings will just respond to and address what is actually happening with you. Yes.
So I had more or less continuous back pain, and so I have a hard time ever getting to content, much less passive, because of aversion. I want it to go away. And it won't, but I find myself often, whether I'm sitting in meditation or not, pushing down on, you know, I get a little bit of relief that way. But of course, that's exactly not relaxing, right? If I'm pushing down.
Yeah. Physical discomfort. How many of you have physical discomfort? Okay. Thank you. Back pain, raise your hand. Okay. Leg pain, raise your hand. Okay. All right.
Hands.
So the question is, it's hard to relax when the back pain is continuous, physical discomfort. And there's some relief by using the hand to push down on the legs to release the pain in the back, right? And you want it to go away. That's the human predicament, isn't it? How many of you have experienced sciatic nerve pain? Yeah. I had it. That's some serious business. You can have sciatic nerve pain. You can have all kinds of physical discomfort. And you can still be okay. It's all right. It is not all right if we try to get rid of it, if we try to suppress it, we make it worse. And it definitely is not all right when we label it pain. What is it then? We don't know. You relax into it, and you discover the wonder of the physical discomfort. The relationship, I talk about, practice is about relationship. The relationship that we build with ourselves, what comes up within us, it's exactly how we treat other people. People that we don't like. How do we treat people that we don't like? People that get under our skin. People that are like back or pain in the you know what. How do you treat that? The juncture through which our embodied experiencing of this moment, whether it's with ourselves, with others, that's where practice is. So we really have to reorient our whole approach to practice. It's not about getting something, attaining some spiritual boon, being free and bliss and no pain. It's not about that. Complete 180 reorientation. It's about relationships. So when we are experiencing physical discomfort, here's what we do. We're using the method. First of all, labeling it pain really kills the experience. We really don't know what the hell's happening. Because it's different every moment. It's fresh. Like right now, you're busy writing. How much is pain from a scale of 1 to 10? Is there physical pain in the back? If there is, scale 1 to 10, 10 being excruciating, how much is that? 1 or 2. You know where this is going, right? All right, you sit there. Huh? 1, 2. And then physical discomfort arises, or even you're just noticing it. And then what we tend to do is exaggerate it. And the defense mechanism, the stress hormones, the cortisol, start to flush down through the body. Fight or flight. It makes it worse. Reified by labels, words, pain, I don't want it. So the practical thing to do is relax, we prime our body, content our mind, great fascination with the method, right? Three steps. Body, heart, mind. So, prime the body, heart content, it's all right. Don't want to get anything. Don't want to get rid of anything, including physical discomfort or this body. Simply avail ourselves to what is present, and the present is sitting. And the habit tendency comes up of reifying, solidifying, trying to get rid of. You go back to the foundation. Right? You put aside the method. You go back to relaxing. Relaxing. The back may be painful, or maybe it's one knee, or one hand, one ankle, one hip. It doesn't matter. The rest of the body is relaxed. Right? So facial muscles relaxed. How many of you, when you meditate, your facial muscles painful? Where?
I have pain all the time right here where my brain on.
Okay.
Yeah, but I focus on it and relaxing.
relax it, and then it becomes subsides, right? Diminishes.
With life force energy, and lifts off. Yeah.
Okay.
Pay attention to it.
Okay, just relaxing it. Sometimes it's like different nerves. So relax, section by section, and then the mind, the heart's content. Second, first is relax. Second, checking to your feeling tone. You really have to make sure we're not trying to gain something, trying to lose something, trying to grasp something, trying to suppress something, trying to manipulate, change. Feeling tone is that of, it's all right. It's all good. Content. Third thing you do, because our tendency in discomfort is to exaggerate, the third thing you do is localize. Go to the reality of what's happening. Where is it? Where is the discomfort? Back. It's not. It's back. Back is made up of non-back. Self is made up of non-self. What do you mean back? It's just a word. Is it upper, middle, lower? Is it left or right? What is it? Is it muscle? Is it bone? Is it nerve? Is it the cartilage is gone? So it's just bone against bone. What is it? There's no such thing as back. It's just localize it. What is it? Relax, content, localize. The rest of the body, completely relaxed. Now you may say, well, I have three or four areas of the body that's having pain. Here's what you do. Three or four. Localize. I got two knees, one back, mid-back, and one shoulder. Out of all of these spots, the other ones are manageable. It's just back, mid-back. So just localize to one area. Fourth step. No words. No language, no container, no stories. Oh, I had an injury, and there's a history, and all of my life I've been blah, blah, blah. No, nothing, nothing. No words, no containers. What is it then? Wonderment. Don't know. Pain is made up of non-pain. It's just different sensations. Sometimes it's like a knife jabbing into. Sometimes it's just stagnant, sometimes it's constant, sometimes it's heaviness, dullness. There's all kinds of things. So the fourth stage is, don't know. What is it? You're practicing silent illumination. Stillness, silencing of the labeling discursiveness, illuminating what is actually happening. You're practicing simultaneous shamatha vipassana. Right. And you watch it change. The intricacy of the discomfort, the so-called pain, morphing changing without labeling. In other words, freshness. No preconceived idea. Don't know what it is. Just freshness. Then, before you know it, the period is over. But your practice is now over. You need to familiarize. You're watching it change as the fourth, without words, watching it change, the fourth stage, right? There's a fifth stage. You need to familiarize. Once you start massage and move around, that pain disappears within 1 minute. From 7 down to 2. 1. What happened? You need to familiarize the illusoriness of pain. You know, where did it go? Just the previous moment was really intense. Where is it now? Familiarize yourself with that. Usually, after the period is over, within 1 or 2 minutes, it goes back down to 1 or 2, or it disappears. Right. At least it lessens. So familiarize yourself with impermanence, or just the freshness. Change. Physical discomfort. And throughout all of this, you're practicing silent illumination. Silencing the constructs, narratives, words, and language. Illuminating what is actually present. Building a new pattern of relationship with yourself. Completely open, accepting, embracing yourself, embracing these old bones, embracing. And then responding wisdom, free from vexations, present in love. So the feeling tone is that of, I accept you. It's all right. I know in half an hour you'll be gone. Actually, it's not even half an hour. It's just 15 minutes left. And I'll say goodbye. But right now, I am you. You're me. Yeah. And then when the period is over, let it go, say goodbye. All the people in our lives, the difficult ones, all the obstructions we face with love, embrace. Everything come to you, it turns to practice. It turns to the path. This is a complete reorientation of how we typically relate to body pain, wandering thoughts, other people. Then you're a practitioner. Yeah. will get a lot of chances to practice during this retreat, the physical discomfort. Right? Even something like sciatic pain. I had sciatic pain going down. I told myself, middle age is here. 55. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah. And then just finding that space just right amount of pain. Relax into it. And if I move, don't move. If you move, it's a lot of pain. So just finding that place, sink there. Yeah. And then afterwards, you're loving your body. How? We're doing massage. Infusing it with the tenderness of our mindfulness massage. The whole relationship changed. That's how we do it. Meditation on pain. Okay. And then that kind of relationship that we build with ourselves, that will translate to our relationship with other people at the juncture of difficulty, of obstructions, perceived obstruction. It becomes opportunity to practice. Right? It's okay? Yeah. Physical discomfort is always there. Always. We're always trying to escape it, suppress it, deny it, change it. What needs to be done, what can be done. We don't look for pain, we don't look for suffering. We can change it. That goes with relationship with others as well. Relationship with difficult people. We don't look for it, but when it's present, we do our best. Yeah. Minimize kind of self-referentiality. Okay, other questions? Val. What if anger comes up in meditation? Like a memory of some conflict arising, and the mechanism of anger start to happen. Okay, what do you think you're going to do? I'm just turning the question back to you. Anger arises. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you said recognizing it, what's coming up, what kind of thoughts pattern, rechanneling it to maybe loving kindness. So there's always this balance of pushing it away, or it doesn't seem like allowing it to be, it is so productive because they just continue to ruminate, right? So you got to do something about it. Buddhist approach, Buddha Dharma approach to the presence of vexations. I translate klesha as vexations. Some people translate it as afflictions, and so on. I'll just use vexations. Buddhist approach to vexations in many different ways. One approach is what you mentioned. It's called counteractive. Counteractive remedy. Right? You meet anger with loving kindness. You meet craving with meditation on impurity or something. You meet scatteredness of mind with meditation on the breath, counting. So counteractive. There's another approach. And the counteractive has all kinds of remedies for different type of states that come up. Some people are suitable for that. Other people, not so suitable. Another approach is to face it with emptiness. Not a conceptual emptiness, some idea on the working end of embodying emptiness is just to allow them to be present. It seems dangerous, but as long as we suspend rumination, drawing conclusions, furthering some understanding, refrain from that. All of that. Just allow these things to be completely present. Flow through. First, you may experience them as actual memories, snapshots of memories, visions, thoughts. Relaxing into them. Face them frontally. And then you will go a step deeper. Instead of these snapshots of visions, of thoughts and memory, you begin to experience them as sensations in the body. The body starts to tense up. Right? When we have negative thoughts, the body will tense up. When you have wandering thoughts, your body will tense up, actually. Have you ever noticed that? Some part of the body will tense up. It's a physiological reaction. Don't draw a conclusion. Just being present, being present. Behind the tensing up, it's just different surging of energy. Maybe. Lodging in different places. And if you relax them, they actually move. Behind that, just vibrations. Layer by layer, expose. Completely open to the true nature of anger. Liberation. In one of the Nikaya Suttas, the Buddha was conversing with one of his disciples, back and forth. Talking about grasping, not anger, but desire grasping. And what holds grasping? This holds grasping. What are its conditions? These conditions sustain them. So on and so forth. At the end, what is its nature? Liberation. Moment by moment by moment, they liberate themselves. As long as we don't draw conclusions, solidify, reify, inject an I in the narrative, it's just experiencing, you will discover that this anger or recollection or grief, sadness, craving, everything, all happening in the embrace of emptiness. Emptiness takes courage. Usually we want to do something about it. In the back of our mind, we want to get rid of it. We don't want to get rid of it. They're your baby. They're yours. What do we do with babies? Do we throw them out the window? No. They're yours. There are reasons why they're present. We love them. We accept them. We embrace them. We allow them to be. Their true nature. They show us the way. I can't stress this enough. They show us freedom. They show us what love is. Just have to stay with it. Don't stay with it at the level of memory. That's the most coarse. It's okay though, that's naturally. Go to the feeling. The feeling behind the memory. Maybe the pain. What's behind that? I'm open. The energy. What's behind that? It won't happen all in one sitting. Sometimes we have these strong emotions. For some weeks, months, years. It doesn't matter how long, they show us change. They show us new beginnings. They show us new beginnings. And the relationship that we have continue to change, continue to evolve. Stay with it. And then they'll show us liberation. Yeah. All the trauma, the negative experiences that we have, the true nature, liberation, freedom. Not some kind of naive notion of going to nirvana, nothing exists. Some place, definitely not here, right? Not that kind of, that's a kind of fabricated thing that we created based on reading books, words, right? It's just freedom, open freedom, selfless, in that wisdom and compassion is present. Emptiness is relationships. Yeah. The relationship continue to change. There's no fixed thingness. So we have never lost anything, never gained anything. New beginnings. Present, yet absent. Gone, yet here. No need to fixate on some kind of understanding or words and language. No fixed views. That's nirvana, liberation. Yet, what is present is present. I've kind of expanded your question to cover a lot of things that needs to be said. Yeah, these strong emotions that we have. As long as we have this polarity working within us, I want to get rid of it. I don't want it. I want something else. I want this moment to be other than what it is. As long as we have that polarity, no liberation, no love, no compassion, no wisdom. Stay with it. Don't draw conclusions. Open, open, open. Then the people in our lives, what comes up within us, show us the way. Yes?
The point you made during the guided practice, that the body is nothing more concrete than the body, felt important and interesting. And I found myself sort of investigating concreteness, and then after the practice, considering thinking about concreteness. It got more interesting, more confusing, more puzzling. So there's a lot of sides to it. Just one thing to ask is the concreteness, is it essentially the same as substantiality, or are they confounded? And related to that, is concreteness just like a the concreteness of the body makes an easy, like, first step and way in, or is concreteness a premium to continue to cultivate connection with discernment and so on, you know, down the road?
Yeah. Concreteness. Is it a way in, or is it a premium to continue to cultivate? Is it substantiality? This This is in reference to the guided meditation, the physicality, concreteness to the body sitting. Right? And that got you thinking. Sitting and also post-sitting time, you start to kind of become fascinated with this concreteness. What is this? Right? That is called propancha. Concreteness is only a perception. Perceptions change. So where's the concreteness? There's no substantiality to it. In the beginning of our practice, because the body feels heavy, and mind is a little bit scattered, so there's something more concrete to hold on to, and you feel concrete. But if you're lying in a bathtub, hot tub, completely relaxed, with a bottle of water, you're just relaxing into that. How concrete can it possibly feel? It's a matter of perception. Suffering is a matter of perception. The body is a matter of perception. In the beginning, maybe palpable. Physicality to my awareness. You feel good. It's going to ground you. But that may subside. The awareness becomes more prominent. The experiencing. Then the physicality recedes in the background. Yeah. Do you know that we're neurologically wired? Human beings are neurologically wired such that when one sense faculty is given prominence, other sense faculty, naturally, the way that they're wired, just recedes in the background. You all know that? Like when you are listening to sounds, then the olfactory sense faculty just lies dormant. It doesn't really function. When we are walking, carefully walking, step by step, then other sensory functions actually lies dormant because we need to use that. Right? So we utilize the sense faculty of the body in the sitting, the first entry point of silent illumination, the body sitting. The concrete physicality of sitting as an anchor. Once the mind becomes calm, clear, stable, the mind faculty becomes more prominent. The body faculty recedes in the background. That transition. Is what gives the perception that the body as if there, as if not there. Right? But the experiencing becomes very palpable. That is the natural functioning of mind, which is experience. The eyes, what does it do? It sees. Nose, smell. Ears, hear. What does the mind do? Experiences. That becomes more prominent. Other sense faculty recedes in the background. And that the qualities of the mind experiencing. The raw natural functioning. Stillness, clarity, no wander. Wandering is not the nature of mind. Nature of mind is just clear. The baseline is free from wandering. Wandering comes from habit. Habit tendency, grasping, polarizing. That's not the nature. That's just like the habit. See? Does that answer your question? Kind of. Yeah. The physicality is just the beginning. Don't pay too much attention to it. Pay attention to it when we are scattered, right? When we're ruminating about this and that. Okay, come back. Come back to physicality. Right here. I'm here. Here. What does it mean to be here? The posturing, the relaxing, and the grounding. Yeah. Not somewhere else. The body and mind together. As you proceed, then things will subside. Okay. One last question and then a break. How's everyone doing? Like the sitting, is it okay? Yeah. Yes, Dave.
Yesterday you mentioned connecting with our hearts. Does this factor into mind and body and I'm sort of getting when you were talking about grounding of the body, that there's a balance in body and mind, but even though, in terms of experience, if we're really present, or say walking outside, part of being present would be feeling cold air or which is experiential, So with the mind, is there a balance in there between the body and mind, or some kind of synergy with heart involved as well in terms of the overall, you keep referencing the feeling tone, right? What's the feeling tone of walking down the street, and then if the overlay is sort of breaking apart and we're really experiencing, aren't we experiencing from the heart as well, as part of that feeling tone? You know what I'm saying?
Kind of. Okay, here's the issue. So the question is, when we are experiencing, you mentioned the feeling tone, how does that gel with the body and the mind? I mean, the body when we're walking, even walking outside, the cold air we're experiencing, and the mind. If there's overlay, then it kind of fragments the mind, pulls us to the left and right. If there's not, then the heart is feeling. Is that coming from the heart? The problem that you're having is that you're caught up in the words of heart, body, and mind. Don't compartmentalize into this or that. What is present? What's present?
Right. Well, what's interesting about all of this is that we talk about the negative, right? We talk about what we don't want to be doing. We don't want to, or the negative of pain, or the negative of, even though it's not, right? You turn it 180, like you said, and then you embrace it and alchemize it into liberation. But as you start to move, as the overlay starts to peel away, I feel the same sense of sort of, you mentioned a lot of things that I had in my mind, was like how the brain works in terms of development. And, as we start to experience more joy, the body, my body is resisting joy, right? Like the spontaneous arising of joy, I'm getting physiological resistance to feeling better. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes people feel that.
Yeah.
Okay. There are two things. I'll address that afterwards. First, I want to address what is happening here. you're listening to what I'm saying, and you're trying to fit it into what you already understand before. Is that mind? Is that the heart? Or what's the body doing? That's very difficult. Because it doesn't fit. It's like two systems. I don't know what you've been reading. You know, how you've been processing things. What I'm saying is, there are no containers. There's no such thing as body. Separate, separable from mind, separable from the present moment. The present is experiencing. Experiencing is embodiment. The body is experiencing, which is mind. When we try to compartmentalize, the tools with which we're using the containers, they fall apart, and we're left with just like a mess. You know, the simplicity of this moment. How do you know, Dave, that you're here? Right now. How do you know you're sitting? The hands crossed like that. What do you feel?
I can feel my hands crossed.
Yeah. You're posturing. What you're feeling is posturing. Right? It's not only posturing. If your shoulders are tense, you feel that too. If it's not tense, relaxing, you feel that. Don't you feel a sense of weight?
Sense of weight.
Sense of weight. So at the minimum, what we're doing is we're learning to be with the reality of what's happening. Not how we wish to happen, how we want it to happen. We're just open to what is actually happening. Seeing things, experiencing things as they are. And what is that? Posturing. Relaxing. Yeah. Check. Grounding. Check. Right? So the mind wants to compartmentalize. It wants labels. It wants prapancha. It wants proliferation. Right? So we just, instead of knowing reality through our categories, prapancha, proliferation of ideas and notions, we are learning to come to reality through experience, kind of phenomenologically, experientially. So stay with the raw experiencing by using only your sense faculty of the body. Don't go to the head. Don't go to the ears, nose, eye, tongue. Body. Simple. Stay with the simplicity. And then the mind simplifies. Simplifies. Regains its natural clarity. Awareness. Right? Awareness. It may come out through sight, sound, taste, touch, thought. It may come out to that. We're drawing to the baseline, which is clear. Just that. Now when we're walking, the simplicity of the natural awareness is walking. How do you know you're walking? Well, the foot, the steps. In other words, the posturing. The kind of grounding, the texture, you feel it. Relaxingly, you're walking. So you're always staying with reality instead of in the headspace. Right? So we first learn to do that. It's not to say we just become dumb and don't use the head, no more research, don't need to have a job. Not saying that. But we're so, typically we are so caught up with these categories, these constructs, we've lost our ability in other sense faculties. So we just amplify the other one, learning, have a little more balance. So is that the mind? Forget about mind. Is that the heart? Forget about the heart. It's just relaxingly grounded, fully engaged, present. Present. Now, things may come up that distract us, right? Like, I want to relax, but there's a resistance. Why is there resistance? Because it doesn't fit our preconceived idea. It's not right, not correct. This is different than there's resistance. So there's some categorical differences that's happening. Meaning, prapancha is present. Very subtly. When prapancha is present, your body tense, guaranteed. So this tripartite experience, mind, body, you can also indicate it with breath. When the mind is a certain way, resisting, the body is definitely functioning a certain way. The breath is a certain way. So how do you change it? Well, you come at it through the body, come at it through the breath. And then you see the mind also changes. Right? So when they're resisting, where is it? Relax. Right? Localize it. It's just tension. Right? Relaxing. What happens if I relax it? Does it go somewhere else? Where is it now? All the things that we resist, they're us. They're our babies. You know, they're us. So resist, okay, hold it. It's all right. Don't be afraid. It's okay. Right? And you see that. It's okay. You can try. Take a break, maybe a quick break, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, come back and we meditate. Allow it to sink in. We'll try again.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.